This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 71, recorded live Wednesday, June 26th, 2013. I am Joel Duggan, and to my right is not Peyton Francis. Peyton was not able to join us this week. The chuckle you hear is none other than Mr. Eric Mahler of the Mr. Mom Daily podcast. Welcome back, sir.
Hello. Nice to be back. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. A little on the tired side, but it's a good tired. I've been drawing all day at the Cintiq, and
I've earned this tired.
It's this, you know, posture thing where you've got to sit up straight and don't hunch because it's bad for you stuff. And then you wonder why at 5 o'clock after 12 hours, you've been like, why am I so tired?
You've been drawing for 12 hours? Goodness gracious.
Well, not 12, but I mean, I get up at, I don't know, 6 o'clock, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep last night, which is another reason why I'm tired, but it's still good tired. Like I had a productive day. So
I like the good tired.
Yeah, you can never complain about that kind of stuff. I mean, the bad tired is, you know, tired for no good reason, or, you know, doing a bunch of stuff like running errands, Christmas shopping tired. That's the kind of tired I don't like.
Yeah, that sucks. That's not a good tired.
Absolutely. Now, you have started a new podcast since the last time you were here. I believe you told us about it. You filled us in about the general concept. But what's going on with Mr. Mom Daily? How's it going?
Right. Well, it's in full swing. The last time I was here, I was kind of just more getting things set up because I'll just quickly say the premise of the podcast, as you might be able to guess, is that it's about me being a stay-at-home dad, and which is commonly called Mr. Mom. And last time I was on the show, the baby hadn't come yet. It was very soon to get here. But the baby has come. It's a boy, and so I started doing a daily weekday show. It's like five or so minutes, sometimes a few minutes longer, of me just kind of talk about whatever is on my mind, really. There's never any show notes or any real plan. I mean, sometimes I might have a thing in mind that I want to talk about, or something may have happened in the past day or two. But pretty much I sit down every weekday in the morning, usually, and I hit record, and I rattle on about something for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then I shoot it out into the world. And it's been going great, actually. I've been doing it up to, episode 60-something now, which is
nice.
Yeah, it's easy to get that high when you're doing weekly short little episodes. But
yeah.
Or daily.
Monday to Friday.
Right.
Yeah. It's like having a segment on a local radio show in the mornings or something like that, right?
Yeah,
same sort of idea, yeah. So give us an example. What would be kind of like a topic that you remember that was fun to record lately?
Well, on occasion, I'll have, I have a few kind of separate themes for the days. On Wednesdays, I like to try and have my wife come on and talk with me, which is always, those are always real fun because my wife is a funny person, and the kind of banter between us is always good. And on Fridays, I always try and have my six-year-old daughter, because we have a six-year-old and the new baby that just arrived. So on the Fridays when I have my six-year-old be on the show, she will, you know, often, like kids do, she'll have many funny things to say, or fun ways to put things. And I'll just be talking to her about the way she's dealing with this new baby that's here, or how school went, or whatever else she wants to talk about. And then some days it's just talking about how awesome it is to be a dad and all these cool things that are happening, and the changes that are coming about. I mean, every day it's kind of something new, and some days it's hard to find something to talk about. Like I said, there's no show notes, and I'll just hit record and go, really. Like some weeks I think to myself, oh man, I'm glad I'm not charging money for this, but I would feel bad. But then other weeks I feel like, I'd feel good. I really did that. Did well this week. But it's, you know, it's me little hobby. It's fun.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, and the greatest thing about podcasting, I find, is that you find something that you're going to do anyway. Right. You know, I mean, our friend Scott Johnson plays a ton of video games, so he podcasts about video games. You know, that's what gets him going. Right. And he's got lots of other shows too, but that was kind of the core of it at the beginning. You know, I always hang out with my friends and talk about sci-fi, fantasy, entertainment, and that's how the Citadel Cafe got started. It was really just an excuse for me to talk to my best friend Chad in Quebec and my other really close friend Peyton here in the city, who had a three-year-old. So Chad was away and Peyton was busy. So it made it easy to every Wednesday night just kind of say, look, you know, we're unavailable. We might as well be going down to the local pub for a beer, but, you know, it's easier if we're all at home and just talk about the cool stuff we're into. And if you happen to be new to the show, that's what the Citadel Cafe is about. You know, it could be a website, could be a book, could be a podcast maybe. But we just kind of gather our thoughts over the course of the week and then throw them at you all willy-nilly. Yeah, batter up. You know, it comes at you fast and furious here on the Citadel Cafe. And it's too bad because Peyton usually has some really interesting stuff. I mean, he's the kind of guy that starts his day reading a bunch of really cool kind of like geeky nerd blogs like Mary Sue and Think cool. Geek and stuff like that. And so he's always got some fun picks. And I've been in the habit of starting my day with breakfast and Twitter, you know, and I'll read a bunch of stuff. And I've been really adding a lot of artists to Twitter over the last little while. So it's been nice. I mean, I still get my morning news, you know, like my CBC Nova Scotia, and I get, you know, what car accident happened where and what the weather's going to be and any kind of legislative stuff that happens. But, you know, most of my morning news is like who's drawn what, who's posted something new, kind of get me going for the day. And it's a fun way to start. I mean, I imagine
you often, I notice you often tweet, what's your cooking breakfast? Like, are you big into cooking because you often seem like you're making all kinds of interesting or nice. They seem delicious.
Well, thanks. It was more of a joke. My dad was teasing me one time about Instagram, about me posting pictures of food on Instagram. And my mother was just kind of like, well, it's Joel, duh. Like, I've always loved food. Nice. So I understand the kind of faux pas of taking a picture of your lunch and posting it. But I usually have a reason. I usually have something fun to say. There's usually something relevant. I have been and usually try to post on weekends when I make pancakes. And I do it every Saturday. Or Sunday, depending on when Jocelyn's home, because we have breakfast together on those days. And it just became a thing, and I didn't realize it. I was just doing it because, hey, it's pancakes. It's fun, you know, because I would change them up. Sure. Banana one week, chocolate chip the next, you know, blueberry most of the time. And
this is what I have been noticing. Like, oh, man, he's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve.
Exactly. So then I stopped, and people started messaging me on Facebook, where are the pancakes? So I thought, well, crap, now people are expecting this. And I find that kind of funny. So of course, now I can't let people down. I also like barbecuing and stuff like that. Actually right now, I mean, where I work from home, I mean, no kids in the house. But I take care of a lot of the household stuff. Jocelyn works long hours, 12-hour shifts, sometimes 2 or 3 days in a row. So where I have a lighter schedule these days, I really don't mind picking up some of the housework or most of the housework. Right. Cooking.
Well, we have that in common, you know, being Mr. Mom.
Exactly.
Big part of my day is the cleaning and the all that.
All
the
that
laundry.
Kind of stuff. Laundry, yeah. We tend to split the laundry just because she goes through a lot more than I do because she's got to go for work and like there's all these different things that happen. Where me, like I lounge around in the same pair of shorts for a couple of days.
I have no idea what that might be like.
Yeah, well, I have no idea what you're
That's
talking
a
about.
Lie.
Yeah, so it's that makes the laundry that makes the laundry light, you know, on my end. So she tends to help out with that. But everything kind of like kitchen, living room for us in the apartment, it's all me. And because she works such long hours, like 8 to 8, by the time she gets home, it's 9. With the podcasting nights notwithstanding, generally I have dinner ready for when she's home, so that we're not eating at like 11 o'clock at night.
I think that's good of you to do. That's the gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah. Very well, why not? Right. I mean, she brings home the bacon and I fry it, you know.
Exactly.
It's all good.
It's exactly my situation. My wife brings home the bacon and I'm not much of a cook, but
yeah,
actually, I eat it.
Yeah. Bacon in the oven, actually, as I recently discovered is the best way to do it.
I tried that once and I think I must have just done something wrong. It didn't it didn't get crispy enough. It was
oh, really?
I mean, it was cooked, but it was it wasn't crisp. I probably screwed it up.
It's like 400 for like 15 minutes.
I got to try it again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the way to go. Cuz I never have enough frying pans. I can't do the bacon and the eggs or bacon and the pancakes at right. the same time. So I have to do the bacon in the oven. Although, I mean, best pancakes ever, fried in bacon grease.
Oh.
Amazing.
Really?
Yes.
How much bacon flavor comes through in the pancakes?
Not so much bacon flavor, but they get really crispy on the outside.
Oh.
Which is
interesting.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to try that.
Absolutely. Well, look, I'll tell you what, man. After the show, I'll send you the recipe for my pancakes. I make them from scratch.
I would love that, actually. It's That'd be fantastic.
Pretty simple. And, of course, you can substitute all kinds of stuff, depending on, you know, because some people use, like, whole wheat flour or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I'll send it along. Awesome. Well, and I might even be able to hand it to you personally in about a week or so, because top of the what's coming up section here, both you and I are going to be at Nurtacular next week.
That's right.
A little bit of a longer trip for me.
Just a little.
Given you live down the road.
Right.
Bastard. yeah, Jocelyn and I are going to be traveling to Nurtacular at the, I think it's called Snowbird Resort in Salt Lake City, Utah, or just outside of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's just up the mountain.
Yeah.
Up in the canyon.
And that is July 5th and 6th next week. So I will be traveling on the 3rd and then back again on the 10th. So what that means for the Citadel Cafe is a 2-week vacation. I will not be here on either Wednesday to record or edit or do anything like that. And I don't have anything really saved up in the podcast vault to put out there on those weeks. So
everyone can go check the backlog of they can catch up on their Game of Thrones recaps and
yes,
all that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what's happening in the next little while, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be it's the first vacation I've had since the last time I went to Nurtacular,
oh, wow.
With the exception of Christmas. But yeah, the first real trip I've had in a little while, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going for a whole week this year. I get to meet people like you.
Sure.
I think we covered this before. Were you there last year?
I was. Actually, I've been to all but two of the Nurtaculars. Right. I didn't go to the first one, and then there was a year when they watched Iron Man when I couldn't go for some reason.
Hmm.
But I've been to the rest of them, and I saw you guys last year. I don't come off as this way to most people, but I'm actually a terribly shy person.
Mm. A lot of people at Nurtacular are.
Yeah. And I was actually going to come say hello to you all, but then you were kind of swamped with people, and you were talking to people, and then I saw someone else. Actually, I think it was Scotty D, and then I said, oh, Scotty D, and then I got distracted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
but I'll say hello this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for us, I mean, it's a big deal, too, because so many of our online friends are there. Jocelyn and I have had another year, you know, playing Warcraft with everybody and
nice.
Being part of the podcasting community, and I've had another solid year on Comics Coast to Coast, which, of course, is part of the Frog Pants network. And if you guys at home are interested in checking out the Nurtacular stuff, Scott Johnson on Twitter is the man to follow. And frogpants.com is the place to go for details on streaming. He will be doing a live video stream of several of the events. He won't be handling it himself. He's going to be partaking.
Right.
But there's somebody else there doing the streaming. I think this year it might even be HD. So you can, depending on your
really?
Setup at home, you might be able to kick your feet up and watch it on your big screen. And there's going to be lots of cool guests and lots of really fun stuff to do.
Yeah, Nurtacular.com, I think they can find out stuff about the Nurtacular too.
Yes, yeah, Nurtacular.com has got like the schedule and some other links and whatnot. So all kinds of information. I will hopefully try to have these up in the show notes as well for this week's episode. And so people don't
awesome.
Miss out. If nothing else, I'll be sure to post it before I leave next week so that people can at least check it out next weekend. So not this weekend coming, but in July is when things are going to be going down, which is going to be super fun.
Sure. Oh, man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Yeah. So the only other big piece of news for me is my mother now has an iPad.
Oh.
Yeah. She, she
cool.
She got an iPhone in January, and she really likes it. And then she's been watching me use the iPad here and doing different stuff when she's been over. And what started out with her computer having a whole lot of problems, and it's a PC laptop from like 5 years ago. So Jonathan was nice enough to reformat it and install Windows and do a whole bunch of stuff. And it runs much nicer now. And it's geared towards her and her iPhone and now her iPad. So it works much smoother. But she just was, not really feeling very friendly with the computer and Windows, and was finding herself doing a lot more on her phone, emailing, texting, looking stuff up. She wanted to read. She's been wanting an e-reader for quite some time. When she looked at the price of them, she thought, well, crap, for an extra couple $100, I can get myself an iPad and do all kinds of things on it. So she decided to get one. And thus, the tech support has begun. It is very similar to, of course, an iPhone.
Joel, I can't find my email. What's going on?
You know what, though? She's actually really good. And it's the same thing that I think I've mentioned on the show before. When my dad got an iPad, it was the same thing. There's a lot of questions at first, but then they die off really fast. Whereas with the PC, there's an unending stream of why doesn't this work? Why is this update not working? Why?
I doubt that's their fault, though. Knowing PCs, they... it's just... If you give a kid a PC, like any small kid, a Windows PC, and for a week, usually you come back at the end of that week and, if you give just about anybody who doesn't really know what they're doing, it's highly likely that by the time you come back in a week to look at that thing, there's going to be all kinds of weird things going on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of their nature, it seems.
Absolutely. I mean, and my mom, could not believe how simple it was, to get it set up and started. I mean, she was even just glowing about her experience buying it at the Apple store here in Halifax.
Nice.
Everybody there was very helpful with all that kind of stuff. So she's also now on Twitter.
Really?
Since I don't have a lot of time to do some tech support, I'm going to tell her to start tweeting her tech questions.
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, so if I don't know the answer, I can just retweet them and hopefully get the masses to come back and get it. So I might regret this later, but I'm going to have a little fun, and I'm going to tell everybody that if you follow @blankjoan, so BlankJoan on Twitter, that's my mom. Right now, she's an egg. She doesn't have a picture up yet. Aww. I don't even think she's tweeted. She just she just reads the news and does stuff like that. She really likes Twitter, though. She loves catching up on all the latest, but she just hasn't had anything to tweet about because she... I mean, my stepdad's the same way. Like, he doesn't really feel like he has anything to say. Mom hasn't come across anything that she wants to retweet. Anything like that. So it's just been kind of a reading only experience. But I'm going to try to encourage her, and she's probably going to have even more questions for me tomorrow when there's a bunch of people following her on Twitter that she has no idea who they are.
Like, who are all these people? Why do they keep talking to me?
Yeah, but so it's one part selfish on my behalf to get some extra tech support for my mother, and it's another part kind of just practical joke on my mom.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Hey, she doesn't have to tweet as long as she gets something out of it.
Absolutely.
There's no rules. She can, as long as she gets something out of that, that's just fine, I'd say.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I guess we can dive into the meat of the show here. I'll let you go first, man. What has been on your video plate lately? What have you been watching?
Well, it's actually been, as I mentioned, we just had a baby, who is only about six weeks old right now. And, as much as I would love to go out to the movies, I refuse to be that guy who's in the back of the theater and suddenly hear the crying and then they have to kind of shuffle out past everybody and disturb everybody. And I haven't seen, it's killing me. I have not seen the new Star Trek. I have not seen Man of Steel. I haven't seen anything. I've seen my baby a lot. I have been able to do, we've been entertaining ourselves at home a lot, and we've been, actually, I finally got caught up on Game of Thrones.
Nice.
The season 3 and everything. And then we recently also, because we had time off, because Christine is my wife, she had a bunch of maternity leave, so we rewatched, after we caught up on season 3 of Game of Thrones, we rewatched the first two seasons. And when I had first watched those first two seasons, I had never read the books. I still haven't read them, but now at this point, I know the characters and I'm familiar with the geography of everything and some of the history of it. And rewatching the first two seasons of Game of Thrones is actually really quite enjoyable once you have a better understanding of who these characters are and their motivations and how they're connected to each other and where they are geographically. So that was a lot of fun. And then the other things we've been doing is, I know it's not TV or movies, but I've been playing a lot of video games.
Oh, right on.
Because that I can do at home. And there's a few games that just recently came out. I played The Last of Us, and I played Animal Crossing. I don't know if you're familiar with either one of those very much.
The Last of Us, is that the like a zombie post-apocalyptic one?
Yes, that's the kind of the PlayStation 3 is kind of near the end of its life cycle, and it's generally accepted to be kind of the big last hurrah, the swan song of the PlayStation 3. It's put together by this studio called Naughty Dog. They did the Uncharted series. Mm-hmm. And so it's a post-apocalyptic kind of setting. The society has fallen due to this. It's not your typical zombies. They're called the infected, but you know it's zombies. But it's not your standard zombies. And then you play as this main. The main character protagonists are this 40-something-year-old man named Joel.
Oh, really?
Joel. And this 14-year-old girl named Ellie. And the two of you kind of try and make your way through. You know, last week, you guys were talking about Mad Men.
Yep.
And how it helps to be a single guy to watch Mad Men. It helps to your experience in watching it, because sometimes being in a relationship or a married person watching Mad Men can bring up a different, you know, it can be harder to enjoy it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the
cheating and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it just has a different feel to it. And there's a thing kind of like that, I think, with The Last of Us. I think the best way to... Let me just say first off, this game is amazing and emotionally draining, and just it hit me really hard emotionally, like these characters. But I think the best way to fully appreciate the kind of emotional, or the thing that the studio was trying to do with this game is if you were a parent or primarily a father. Is definitely, I mean, you can guess with the guy, the older 40-something Joel, kind of taking care of this 14-year-old girl, Ellie. As you might imagine, you know, that's kind of a lot of themes that they're playing with here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but you don't have to be. I mean, anyone can enjoy this game, I think. If you're into stealth and if you don't have a weak stomach, because it's, you know, it's very adult, it's a very violent game, but it's just this. It wasn't like, I almost want to say it's not like your typical kind of fun. Like say you watch Terminator 2 and that's just good popcorn fun, but if you go and watch The Walking Dead, it's entertaining, but it's not the same kind of, you know, happy-go fun.
For me, the Walking Dead, I like that show, but it makes me very anxious.
Yeah,
And that speaks to the quality of the show, but you also have to be in the right mood.
That's the same thing with this game, big time. Oh, my gosh. It's best with, like, breaks. And you need little, you know, the other game I've been playing, Animal Crossing, is the perfect thing to squeeze in between playtimes. Because for those who don't know, Animal Crossing is a Nintendo 3DS game where you play as this cute little character, this avatar of yourself, living in this cute little animal village. And the point is pretty much just to relax and enjoy life and to collect little fish and catch bugs and to do just... enjoy yourself. There's really not any particular point to the game other than to just have a nice, relaxing life in this little cute little town. And I can't explain why it's such a enjoyable game. Like why a 32-year-old guy like myself should be playing a game that you'd think would be primarily directed towards children, but it's really not. I mean, if you see. Most of the people that Joel and I follow on Twitter, you've probably seen, is always talking about Animal Crossing this and Animal Crossing this. Yeah. Well, these are all grown people.
It's a social connected game, though, isn't it? Like, if you and I were in the game, you could come over to my yard and
that's right. Yeah, I mean,
pick
that's
up stuff or find stuff or share things. And...
yeah, I've already I've gone over to the Valentines of the Valentine cast.
Oh, yes,
over to their towns. I went over to. Mr. Ryan Murphy's town. Of the Gamers Inn.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him next week, too.
Oh, you have not met him?
Not in person.
Oh, no, me neither. But
he, when he and Jocelyn...
all you Canadians know each other?
Yeah, it's just down the road. Jocelyn is from Ontario, but even when she was up there, she was still on the other side of the province from Ryan. And they didn't actually, I don't think, start the podcast until after they got here or shortly before they got here. Or she got here. So they've never met in person either. It's going to be fun to meet Ryan and his girlfriend Ashley next week.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do remember him mentioning, I want to say they talked about Animal Crossing quite a bit on the last Gamers Inn.
Yes, they did. Definitely go listen to their episodes about, they talk about the last, I don't know if they talk about The Last of Us yet, I forget, but they definitely talked about Animal Crossing and they explained it better than I did. So go listen to their episode. But I've been playing The Last of Us and Animal Crossing a lot, and that's been a lot of fun.
Cool. Very, very cool. Well, I haven't had a lot of time either to go out. I did, of course, go out to see Man of Steel after my book signing a week and a half ago. And I won't talk about it here, but we did talk about it last week. Myself and Bill Meeks got into a full half episode of the Citadel Cafe, full of spoilers. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen it, then go back and listen, because both Bill and I discussed it at length. We both really enjoy the movie. We both recommended that everybody go see it if they can. But we get into the details and the reasons why we think some people are saying certain things about the movie, good and bad. It was a very, very good episode. I was really happy with it. So if you have seen Man of Steel, then check out last week's episode 70 of the Citadel Cafe, where we talk about all kinds of good Superman stuff. This week, however, because I've been so busy, I'm trying to cram in a couple more projects before I leave for vacation. I've been doing a lot of painting. I've got a personal project on the go, and I've got a couple of commissions on the go. And I'm also teaching myself to paint with Photoshop. I've always been an illustrator. I've always done the whole pen and ink thing. I've always been someone who draws. I didn't take traditional painting, or it didn't take too traditional painting in university. I didn't like it very much. But digital coloring, however, is awesome because there's no mess. And you can get these bright colors and these cool effects once you know what you're doing. And I've always colored my comics, but I've never actually done like the whole painting thing.
Sure.
And because even when I was in animation, I was more of a character guy. I didn't do backgrounds and that sort of stuff. So I've started off with some fan art. I'm currently working on a hover bike design for the Wildstar game that I've been talking about on the show, the MMO that's coming out. And
yes,
they have these.
About that.
Yeah. It looks so much fun. It looks like so much fun. Anyway, they've got these hover bikes in the game. It's got a giant, like, big wheel underneath the back of it, and then the front of it hovers, so there's no front wheel to the bike. It's more like a unicycle with a giant truck wheel behind it. They're very cool looking, and I'm working on a design of my own just for fun, trying to learn the ropes. So as I've been doing this, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos from artists that I follow, either on Twitter or both Twitter and YouTube. And I've got a couple of recommendations because they are short videos. Most of them are about 15 minutes. Every once in a while, you run into something that's a little bit longer. And if it is, a lot of times it's broken up into parts, depending on what the producer of the video had time to do. So the first one is Cynic's Design on YouTube. And he's a concept designer, and he does fun crowd-involved design videos. So he'll say, all right, we're going to design a bird, or we're going to design a flying ship or a two-legged mech or something. And he'll do a bunch of thumbnails, talk about design principles, what he's liking, what he's not liking, that kind of stuff. And then he puts it to the crowd, and over the next week or so, everybody watches the video. And then in the comments, they vote for the design thumbnail that they want to see him not finish, but take to the next level.
Okay.
So then he'll pick one, like a helicopter type design, say, and then in the next video, he'll take that thumbnail, he'll flush it out, he'll paint it, he'll add color and reflection and talk about different things, try different techniques. And they're not like super polished, but they're certainly taken to a very clear communication of what the intention is. You know, it's very clear to you that is a vertical takeoff and landing, you know, single person cockpit, you know, airfoil type thing. when he's done. And he's good. He's a little unsure of himself sometimes. So sometimes he's kind of hard to listen to because he records the videos and time lapses them, and then he talks over them at the end.
That's difficult, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
as a guy who has to fill 5 or 10 minutes every day about who knows what, that's probably yeah. part of why he's like, and I'm still drawing. And
yeah, I've never really done a solo cast before, and I can only imagine that the length of time, 15 or 20 minutes, would be really difficult to kind of fill. But but he still does a good job, and I always come away learning something from his stuff. A lot of what he talks about is for people that are a little bit greener than me, people that are maybe just out of school or just trying to get into the industry. So a lot of the principles of design and silhouette and thumbnailing and stuff like that is something I'm very familiar with. However, when he goes to finish a piece, I do find it very, very interesting because he uses a bunch of different techniques and different brushes and stuff like that. And it's kind of fun to watch.
Do you think you'd ever do a star-crossed digital?
I have contemplated it because I'm behind on the comics, but I still like the whole pen to paper thing, and I can ink a lot faster on paper. I find the perfectionist in me takes over when I'm on the Cintiq, and I end up not doing quite what I want.
Right.
And I find like it's funny, the look that Starcost has now is that of traditional pen and ink on paper. And I still get tapered lines and the kind of effects that I want, but digitally, I feel like the tapered lines are almost too perfect. So until right. I can find a pen that, you know, like make a specific brush in Photoshop that will mimic my pen on paper sort of texture, and the fact that it doesn't go mm-hmm. to a, you know, a pixel perfect point, you know, when right. you feather a line, then I'm going to stay on the traditional side of things. And plus that's how I'm trained, and there's just a certain part of right. me that enjoys it. And there's been several people that have been picking up original comic strips. So, I mean, it's a point of sale for me too, to have something physical to
sell. I wasn't making a suggestion. Honestly, I like the way, one of the things I like about Starcrossed is the original kind of pen and paper aesthetic, kind of the look of the old, not the old, but the classic look of pen on paper. Like your old Sunday cartoons, kind of.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still do some stuff digitally. Like, I mean, I might pencil out or rough out like a bookshelf or something like that. But I mean, like, straight lines and repeating things like stacks of books are just, it's so much easier to do it, you
sure.
know, digitally. Sure. So, I mean, it's a mishmash. And there's certain comics where I might do some copy paste here and there. But for the most part, it's traditional stuff. So yeah, that's one of the guys on YouTube, and another guy. Speaking of cartoons, Will Terrell is an online friend of mine. He's a cartoonist and illustrator based out of Texas, I believe, and he shares his sketchbooks, techniques, other fun tips, all of the stuff up on his YouTube channel. He posts at least once a week, if not twice. He kind of just throws up thoughts whenever he feels like it. He's gotten pretty good at putting together these short little, like, you know, 5 to 7 minute videos. And he does really fun, really wonderful work, is a pro at these very popular brown tone sketchbooks where you have to draw the shadows and then you have to draw the highlights as well. And then the brown paper kind of acts as a mid-tone. Mm-hmm. And so he puts these sketch videos out. Sometimes they're time lapse. Sometimes it's just him flipping through, showing all the pencil sketches that he doesn't like, and then showing ones that he's finished and taken to the final stage. And it is worth it just to see his People of Walmart sketches.
Oh, totally. I have not heard of him before you put this in the show notes, and I was checking it out before the show. Man, this guy is talented.
He's
insane.
Very talented, yeah. Yeah, he's a super nice guy. Like, he, just to sure. hear him talk, and we've interviewed him before on Comics Coast to Coast.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, the episode number escapes me right now, but there might be a search function on the Comics Coast to Coast blog. If you go there and check it out, you can probably find it. I was on the episode, so it's been within the last year or so. So within the last 50 episodes of Comics Coast to Coast, for sure, that he was on. He's really, really cool guy to talk to, because he also does a web comic. And I, again, it's escaping me right now. what it's called. But if you follow him, just Will Terrell.
That's what Google is for. Yeah, that's
all
right.
Terrell on Twitter. He's got links to all the stuff that he does. He's got like an artist homepage, just like me, that then points to all the different things that he does.
Sure.
So he's super, super cool. And last but not least, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Scott Robertson, who I think I've probably mentioned on the show before, but I've been taking the time to watch more of his videos over the last week or so. And Scott is an industrial designer who also now works in entertainment and video game design, movies, that kind of stuff. Very sci-fi heavy. Like, he tends to do a lot of technical stuff these days. So he has this just wicked understanding of light and perspective and rendering, mm-hmm. How shadows work. There's a video that he does about reflective surfaces, and I kid you not, he gets into the physics of light and Whoa. How it's going to hit this object and bounce onto this object, and how, you know, if you've got a red truck, you got to make sure that the ground is a little bit red because that's where the light's going to bounce onto it. I mean, it sounds technical and boring, but it's not when you, when you're taking it into the artistic context.
Sounds cool to me.
Oh yeah, it's very cool. It's a little dry sometimes, but he's also talking over himself drawing, and a time lapse sort of thing. So you always have something to watch while he's explaining all these kind of things. And he is an impeccable speaker and teacher. He is very clear in what he's saying. He doesn't really ramble very much. He is just very talented and definitely worth checking out. And he does these free Tutorial Fridays. I can't remember what the name of the segment, but every Friday he posts a new video. He's traveling right now. He's actually doing a school trip to Taiwan, I think. He's not going to be posting, I think, for a total of 2 weeks, maybe three. For the most part, he posts something new every other week. Something mm-hmm. that really stands out about him are his techniques for coming up with new forms and new ideas for whether it's a sneaker that he's designing or an airplane or whatever. And he uses photo booth on a Mac.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And then some of the camera tricks, you know, where it bends your face inwards and it does all these
makes your head big or whatever.
Funny stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what he was doing, he was taking objects. So he would take like a crumpled up piece of paper and use these kind of like funhouse mirror effects in photo booth, and it uh-huh. would get these really bizarre kind of like shapes and folds and these weird kind of perspectives and shadows, but it would also be symmetrical. So
sure.
then you could take that and say, well, that could easily be turned into an alien spaceship. Or maybe it is the, you know, pattern he's going to inlay on the side of a sneaker or something like that. Like,
that's cool. Almost really, like looking at the clouds and saying, hey, that's kind of like a spaceship. Or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Except for he's going through his garage. Like, he is extraordinarily resourceful when it comes to that kind of stuff. So he's totally worth checking out. So all of this stuff will be in our show notes as long as I get a chance to do it before I leave for Nerdtacular. But so that's Scott Robertson, Will Terrell, and Cynix, Cynix Design on YouTube. All very easily found via Google as well. And that's it for what I've been watching, because like I said, I've been busy painting and busy learning to paint. So that's kind of what's been eating up my time. What else has been going on with you? You've been possibly listening to or reading anything?
Well, I've been reading. You know, it's funny. I just finished a graphic novel by a Canadian guy. I'm not much as into superhero comics or just kind of the short little, $2 or $3 comic books. But I do have a very deep love for graphic novels, and I have read many over the years. And 2 days ago, I was visiting my dad, and he just goes, "Here, I found this, and I thought you might like it," and gave it to me, and I started reading it. And it's called It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken, a picture novella by Seth. And just Seth is the author, which I thought was a little strange. And then I got to the back at the end. It says his name was originally Gregory Gallant, who changed his name to Seth for some reason. But anyways, I guess he's this Canadian guy. It's this short little book. It takes place in Ontario. And did you ever read Blankets by Craig Thompson?
No, I haven't.
it's kind of got a similar feel to that one, or I want to say Jimmy Corrigan. Do you, are you familiar with those?
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of this very melancholy, kind of wrapped in. It's very much a book about nostalgia. It's autobiographical, and he's talking about this time in his life when he was. Actually, he discovered this political cartoonist that he found interest in, and he, through the course of the book, he just tries to find more about him, and over the course of the story, he kind of goes back to places from his past, and it's very much. I mean, it's all right. It's not the best graphic novel I've seen, but the art is really nice. Guy's got a really, really cool art style. It's just black inked with some blue shade. And very simple, a lot of silhouettes, and but it's a really nice little book. And actually, I this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up because I just do sometimes. I suck at sleeping, so I woke up and I'm just sitting there waiting to go back to sleep, and then I see the book here, which I had gotten only like 20 pages into, and I was like, what the hell? And I just finished it until like 5:30 in the morning, just sitting there finishing this book, which is always nice. But that's what I read recently. It was nice.
Nice. Very, very cool.
Ironically, it's Canadian.
Yeah. Montreal, it looks like. At least that's where it was printed.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. No. Well, for me, I haven't been taking much time to read. I'm still working on a couple of books I actually got for my birthday, but... what I can do when I'm doing all this painting and drawing is listen to podcasts. And I definitely have one to recommend. And yep, you guessed it, it's got something to do with art. Once again, I am mentioning Chris Oatley on the podcast. And everybody should check out Chris Oatley's Artcast episode 61, where he interviews one of my favorite character designers, Brett Bean, also known as 2D Bean on Twitter. And Chris and Brett are good friends, and they get into some pretty deep discussion, not just about concept art and kind of like what they've been up to and how their personal businesses and projects are going, but they also kind of get into like the principles and morals of working in the industry, artistic motivation, balance between work and vacation and stuff like that.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and a host of other things. Chris is a very introspective guy, and he starts off each podcast with kind of like a solo cast before he gets into the interview, where he just kind of like talks to fans and listeners and readers of his stuff. And he has an online academy, so he was talking quite a bit about that. It's a really good episode, not because it's all lovey-dovey, but because it addresses stuff that isn't what Photoshop brushes do you use, you know, like what's your, you know, basic drawing technique for drawing, you know, knights in shining armor. Like, it's not at all technical, because something I'm seeing a lot of these days with all of the artists that I'm following is that people that are successful are the people that are, one, drawing a lot, and sure, two, sticking with their own stuff. Even if they're doing something like fan art, they're not trying to make it look like superhero stuff or whatever. They're just doing their own take on things. I saw someone on DeviantArt the other day that had like a riff of warm-up drawings that were all He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Uh-huh.
But it was all really silly, girly things. Like the character Cyclops had like a flower around his eye, and he was at the beach making sandcastles, but he had no depth perception. Like, it was really stuff. Like, it was very, very funny. And it's not the usual thing you see on DeviantArt, which is, you know, muscle man with a sword, you know, and a guy with a skull and like all this kind of stuff. So, you know, they talk about like all that kind of thing, and how people that are staying true to their, you know, what they want to accomplish as an artist are the people that are seeing a lot of success in the industry. And it's a very, very good, interview. And Brett also goes into more detail on this interview about his upcoming Kickstarter, which is going to be my pick this week, but I'll wait until we get to that to talk about it.
Actually, that sounds great. I'm going to check that out. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. A little bit of Skype lag, I think.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's like, oh no, I lost him.
Sorry about that. Speaking we are going across two time zones.
That's true. I was going to say, speaking of DeviantArt, I just looked at mine. I have not touched this poor thing in years. It's collecting dust.
Yeah, I was bad. I had mine for a couple of years and it really didn't post much. So I've recently revamped it. I certainly go there a lot to look at art. Mm-hmm. Really one of my favorite things to do is find somebody that I really admire, like say Creature Box or Brett Bean, for example, and then go through the items that they have favorited. So it's not their mm-hmm. art, it's somebody else's, and it's all the stuff that they're just going, wow, that's cool, click, you know, like, favorite, and all that kind of stuff. And you can find like this endless stream of inspiration and really cool stuff to look at.
You're going to have to send me a link to your DeviantArt, because suddenly it looks like fun.
It's just my name. It's just
oh, okay.
DeviantArt. I can't remember whether it's /JoelDuggan or whether it's joelduggan.deviantart.com. I can't remember. But if you just search for me by name, you'll be able to find it. There's a link from joelduggan.com, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what about you? What's been in your ear holes this week?
My ear hole?
Your ear hole.
I've recently... caught up in this new podcast called Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. I am a big fan of video games, as you might have guessed from my rant earlier. I've always very much enjoyed video game music. And these two guys, their names are Carl and Will Brueggemann. And I don't know why they're the Mercado Brothers or exactly where the name comes from. It's kind of strange. It doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter because every week they showcase a good, like at least maybe 10 to 20 little short songs from music, from video games, from back in the original Nintendo era to current date kind of things. And they kind of have a theme every week. And, you know, it's not just a music podcast either, where they'll roll off a bunch of music. They'll take breaks in between each song and they'll kind of discuss it and talk about what they like about it, what they don't like about it. They'll kind of try to deconstruct the song, which is one of the things I really like it. It's not just like, here's a song and here's the next one. They get into like the technical side of listen to this that they're doing here and listen to what this artist is doing here with this chip on this old system. And and some great music in there too, if you like old video game music. They recently just did a kind of a showdown between the old Sega Genesis and the old Super Nintendo, which was split between two episodes. And that was a lot of fun to listen to. And
right on.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's a weekly show. They do video game music and they talk about it and it's fun. I quite enjoy it.
Awesome. I was an SNES kid.
Was I.
Yeah, lots of Street Fighter, Super Mario World.
Oh, yes.
And what was the other one that I was really into? I feel like there was another one. Oh, Star Fox.
Oh, my gosh. I spent so many hours on Star Fox.
Yeah, Star Fox was fun. Star Fox was for as simple as it was a lot of fun and hard.
Oh, my gosh.
In some places.
I can't tell you how long I sat in my friend's basement playing that game on the asteroid level, trying to get into that one secret area, wherever we have to hurry in.
Right.
I don't know. And then you can like warp to another area and oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that.
Good times.
Yep. Well, speaking of music, we can get into the internet minute here at the end of the show, which is where we share some of the cool stuff that we've found online. And you have a music pick that I watched just before we recorded, and I can't wait for everybody to see this.
They have to. It's fantastic. I don't know who. Hang on, let me go to the video because I forgot who made this. I didn't even look. Let me hurry and mute it. Someone named Simon Panrucker. And what it looks like he did is he took footage of just his nieces and brother-in-law sitting at this little drum set, and they were banging away on this little drum set. They weren't necessarily playing like you would hope a drum solo would be. They're just kind of hitting it randomly here and there, and it looks like he cut it up and pieced it back together in a rhythmic fashion, so it looks like they are playing this amazing, crazy drum solo, you know, that no one could ever pull off. And it's just pulled off in such a nice way It's just really entertaining. It's hilarious it's really cool drum solo kind of thing.
Yeah. I laughed out loud watching this video. It is very, very cute. The kids even get into like grunting and shouting a little bit when they when they hit the drums and making a funny face, and then the dad gets in there and does some really strange stuff, and it speeds up for him, and it's very, very well done. I mean, all with like a steady cam and like it's on a tripod, so I mean it's virtually seamless. I mean, how he has edited it all together, and I mean, so much fun. I really need everybody to go check out this Crazy Dumb video. Like, I'm probably going to post it on Twitter, or I'll let you post it on Twitter, and I'll retweet it after the show, because, man.
You go ahead and post it. I think I posted it before.
So fun. It's so awesome. Much fun. I, as I mentioned before, I've been, I guess, a fan of Brett Bean for quite some time. I know he's a very popular character designer. I mean, I feel like everybody who said, you know, people start to mention their favorite character designers, and usually Brett Bean comes up as one of them. But
for good reason.
Yeah, well, he's very talented. He's got about 10 years experience in the industry, pretty much nonstop. He's very approachable. Like, I've spoken with him on Twitter. He's a super, super nice guy. And right now he has a Kickstarter out, and he does talk about it at length, at the end of the video, with Chris Oatley, or not video, the podcast with Chris Oatley, sorry. And, it's basically, a comic book. It's a full color, 100-page story, 8.5 by 12. So it's a good size, you know, comic book. And it's called Spaced Out, the story of Phil and Mantis. And, he'll do a better job in the Kickstarter video of explaining it than I will, and he goes into even more detail in the interview with Chris Oatley. But essentially, Phil and Mantis are two janitors working for an intergalactic company that destroys planets for profit. Phil and Mantis are the cleanup crew. When they decide they no longer want to take part in the company for their own, I guess, personal and moral reasons, all kinds of adventures take place, including maniacal villains, bounty hunters, cleanup on aisle 7, you name it. It sounds like it's going to happen in this book. It is a very colorful, I'm pretty sure it's going to be kid friendly. Like, it's very cartoony. It looks like Saturday morning type stuff.
Sure.
They're aliens, so like they're kind of fun being, you know, kind of with antenna type characters, and everybody's got a lot of personality. Because it's all digital, he's got this crazy palette of really bright rainbow colors for
the speech balloons. I mean, I'm looking at the Kickstarter page, and I was just going to say these colors are fantastic.
Yeah, they're really over the top. And he even goes so far as to say on the Kickstarter page that he's color coded the speech balloons for the different people, so that if you're reading it with like your kid or something like that, you guys can take part. You know, like you can read them out loud. So you just say, okay, you read all the red balloons, and I'll read all the blue balloons or whatever. And it's
a great idea.
It really sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm really hoping that a lot of people go out and support the project, because in addition to, of course, you know, his book being printed, there's lots of stretch goals and stuff like that that are going to be really fun for everybody to take part in, because he is about 11,000 into a $15,000 goal, and he's got another 15 days to go. So hopefully he will make it. And if you are at all interested in picking up a copy of the book, or a copy of this and maybe one of his art books, which is very tempting for me, then definitely check out some of the Kickstarter packages, because he's got, you know, kind of like this, as things go up, you get more and more with your package, of course.
Right.
And it looks like so much fun. Like,
it looks pretty fantastic. Yeah, I may have to back this.
Yeah. I'm, it's funny. Like, I'm seeing all these really cool projects on Kickstarter lately, and it's just, you know, we're on a budget. We're going to Nerdtacular. Like, I'm not allowed to spend any money until I get back. And then, fortunately,
Kickstarter,
you know, like this ends like the day that I get back, or 2 days before I get back. So it's like, oh, son of a gun. Like,
oh,
I haven't decided what I'm going to do. As of yet. I mean, everybody has like a, you know, a $10 or $15 digital kind of, you know, support package, which is nice. And I probably will do that. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, as much as I like picking up the odd comic here and there, you know, on the iPad, when it comes to like special books where people are being kickstarted, because I did my own crowdfunding thing, I really do want to get like a hard copy and stuff like that.
Yeah, with Kickstarter, I feel like I can't back something unless I have a really hard time jumping in at the very smallest amounts. I have to get like at least the minimum that I'm going to get something, be it like a copy of the book or the game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that is it. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. As we mentioned at the top of the show, you can catch us here live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on joelduggan.com/live. Music for the Citadel Cafe was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and of course the podcast is available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. You can also find links on the website to various social networks of your choosing, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, etc. This Friday night, please check out the Gamers In podcast at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. You can catch up with Jocelyn and Ryan and all of the late-breaking gaming news. I can tell you right now that Jocelyn is on a race to level 90 in WoW with one of her alts because she wants to get an achievement. So she is probably she's probably going to be speaking to that this Friday night. It's quite amusing to see her, putting so much time in between her 12-hour shifts. She's coming home and doing like another 2-hour shift on Warcraft to try and get her Death Knight to the end of the line. Yeah, it's pretty funny. She's excited though. I hope she gets it because she's really into achievements in video games. She gets very happy when she gets them. So hey, I'm all for that.
I always love the banter between those two, especially whenever Ryan starts talking about Nintendo and then Jocelyn starts going, oh, geez.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of a running gag now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, me. You can find my work at joelduggan.com. You can also find my book, StarCrossed Volume 1, which is available in my web store. Where can people find you, man?
On Twitter, they can find me at Snyder Mahler. That's SnyderMahler, just like the composer. The podcast Twitter is Mr. Mom Daily. It's also the name of the website for the podcast. It's just MrMomDaily.com. And I have a website, just ericmahler.com, because that's my name. And it has links to everything, it's kind of like the portal to everything else. Because linking off, I did what you did and I decided I'm just going to make a central hub for all the crap.
I think it's important. If you can get your name.com at all, I think it's probably worth doing. If you don't really have a website now, at least you can get it. And if you ever...
Just put a picture of yourself up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep,
that's me.
Yeah.
Me.com.
If you haven't done it yet, you should do it for your son.
Yeah, oh, man. That's a good idea.
Register the domain right now. Hover.com.
I hadn't thought about that. I got to register my kids' names. Oh, yeah. My God. I got to do their Twitter. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we know what you're doing after the show. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap. But you can only pick two.